Blog Talk Radio.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Who determines what sex acts are much too taboo to even talk about, let alone engage in? Did you know that there are a number of states in this country, including Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi, where oral sex is actually still illegal? On the erotic scale from 1 to 5, with the number 5 representing that you're so erotic that even a porno star could take notes from you, and the number 1 representing that you're so prudish and conservative that even the sexual behavior of weekly churchgoers you happen to be acquainted with seems kinky to you, where would you say you fall on that 1 to 5 scale? With the possible exception of one's personal finances, there is arguably no other aspect of a man or woman's life that elicits such a high degree of privacy and discretion like the subject of sex. Some men and women still blush at the mere mention of anything erotically explicit. Is there any other facet of our behavior that provokes us to pass judgment on one another more so than another man or woman's sex habits that we ourselves may deem to be too open-minded, too kinky, or on the flip side, too conservative or narrow-minded? My guest for the evening is a woman who could care less about who judges her sexual desires, interests, tastes, or preferences. She is a complete free spirit in every sense of the term and has helped console many men and women who have found themselves feeling ashamed or uncomfortable by their own chosen sexual thoughts and erotic desires that they themselves were entertaining in the privacy of their own mind. Who is this woman who has made it her mission to help men and women feel more liberated when it comes to their previously suppressed lustful desires, no matter how unconventional they may be perceived by others? Her name is Dr. Susan Block, and this magna cum laude graduate from the highly esteemed Ivy League institution, Yale University, has freed up some time in her very busy schedule to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you though, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and bury someone in their race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people, I think black people should date black people.
Now, how'd you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, mode one. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode one, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, December 4th, and tonight, we're going to live up to that "this show is for mature audiences only" disclaimer that you hear at the beginning of all my shows, expressed so seductively by my good friend, Miss Talisha Shine of San Diego, California. Tonight, we're going to ask our male and female listeners, what exactly separates normal sex from kinky sex? Normal sex from kinky sex. When does healthy sex go too far into unhealthy and or perverted territory? I cannot wait to get this conversation started. But first, let me plug my last two episodes of the 2008 calendar year. Next week, I will have a young lady by the name of Talia Stovall, who's written a very thorough book entitled Crossing the Threshold. That discusses the concept that men and women tend to attract members of the opposite sex who possess similar characteristics and attributes to themselves. Her philosophy is if you want to attract quality, then you have to become quality. Then in my final episode of the 2008 calendar year, on the Thursday before Christmas, I will have well-known attraction and seduction guru, Carlos Zuma. Carlos Zuma, if all the men who buy books and go on the internet looking for attraction advice, seduction advice, that type of thing, he is like an international celebrity, Carlos Zuma. He'll be on my show to talk about men and women who are fake prudes and wholesome pretenders. We might even get into that a little bit tonight, but we're definitely going to talk about it at length. If you read Chapter 6 of my Mode 1 book, you know there's a Chapter 6. This is the chapter that gets the most feedback from women is called Casual Sex Versus Relationships. Casual Sex Versus Relationships. We're going to be touching on that theme, and we're going to talk about, again, fake prudes and wholesome pretenders. If you saw my show on May 8th, you would definitely know what I'm talking about. I had a guest by the name of Stephanie J. Jones, and we talked about the Madonna whore syndrome, sexually duplicitous men and women, and it was just a good conversation. So I'm sort of going to be continuing that conversation when I have Carlos Zuma. Now, as I always do, I give props to the listeners who join me in the chat room. I know I have a lot of listeners who never come in the chat room, but for those that do, I always give them a shout out. And I'll start with Miss Dangerous Lee, one of the most charismatic hosts on Blog Talk Radio. She comes on Friday evenings. You'll hear her promo later on in the show. I got Miss Gina Alzite. I probably pronounced the last name wrong. Holistic Life Designs. Alexis, I'm going to touch on Alexis later. She's in my chat room. She caused me to get a lot of emails this week. I'll touch on her in a couple minutes. My good friend Adrian Diva 362636 is in the chat room. Got KBM 7425, a number of guests. Hyper, my boy Purpose One got on my case the other week because I said he was from North Carolina, but the brother is from Houston. So, Purpose One, I'm letting all the honeys know you live in Houston. Purpose One was like, dog, don't be putting me in North Carolina. Caramel chick. I just got to know her. Sound off now. That's my dog. Sound off now. If you never heard this show, he's a host on the Blog Talk Radio Network. He's in my chat room. He always talks about interesting and provocative topics. My younger cousin, Christopher Curry from Detroit, otherwise known as Hype Style. Got Dave Jones, Music Nika, Mo Blue, and I'm sure some other people will be coming in the chat room as the show goes on. Again, glad to have you join me this evening. Let me give my kudos like I always do. First off, many thanks go to the co-founders of Blog Talk Radio, CEO Mr. Alan Levy, Chief Operating Officer Mr. Bob Cherish, the Blog Talk Radio executive staff, which includes but is not limited to Mr. John Sweet, Ms. Hillary Luong, my broham and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, my cousin, Chicago J.P. Jones, at the bar in Maplewood, New Jersey, Sean Smith, Gordon Chu, Blake Scott, Jason Lewis in L.A., Brandy Davis in D.C., my Blog Talk Radio Network family. I just named some names, some others I don't see in the room, the Lavologist, Kathy Holloway Hill, Kevin Ross, Sandy, a.k.a. How Elegant, Sassy Sass, and just way too many other more quality hosts. If you get a chance, listeners, if this is one of your first times listening to Blog Talk Radio, go on the main page and click on air, and you'll be on any day, any time of the day, you'll be able to find a number of shows that meet your interests. Because I always say there's a show on Blog Talk Radio for just about every interest. If you want to know how to decorate paper towels, put, you know, some kind of coloring on them, there's a show for it. If you want to know how to build your own flashlight, there's a show on Blog Talk Radio for that. There's just a show for everything on Blog Talk Radio. So check it out. All my listeners in various cities, L.A., Chicago, D.C., Columbus, Ohio, Vegas, Seattle, Indianapolis. Man, tell me what's going on with Plaxico Burress shooting himself, man. I need somebody to explain that to me. Okay, you go to the club. You say, okay, I'm going to take my boys to the club. I'm going to have fun, soak up some pub. You know, I caught the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. Oh, snap, let me just go ahead and just shoot myself. Man, what is that about? The brother, was he using some illegal drugs or something? How do you, it's bad enough when you shoot somebody else. Like, you know, when Dick Cheney shot somebody. But when you shoot yourself, what's going on? And then Antonio Pierce did his best impersonation of Ray Lewis. He was like, hey, snap, I didn't see nothing, man. I didn't see nothing. But wasn't he with you at the club? Hey, I didn't see nothing. So, man, I don't know. Hey, here's the big drama in my life. If you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you know what my drama was this week. Oprah Winfrey and her company, Harpo, made me take down my YouTube video. Ain't that something? I mean, I love Oprah. Don't get me wrong. So if anybody listening to this show work for Harpo, hey, I love Oprah. I know Oprah's powerful. She'd be like, take his Blog Talk Radio show off. Just take it off. So I love you, Oprah. I love you. I'm not talking bad about you behind your back. But, man, she made me take down my YouTube video. For those that don't know, I appeared on Oprah. This was years ago, late 80s. Me and my brother were on there. They had a show about dating, and she asked me about having one-night stands and weekend flings with women and not calling them back. And I entertained the crowd. You know, I had people laugh and whatnot. And it was up there for about 3 months. It was getting a lot of hits, too. It was just on the verge of getting about 1,300 hits. And she took it off. They sent me a note from YouTube. It said, Oprah said, don't ever, ever put that back on without getting her permission. And she's still going to tell you no, even if you ask for her permission. So she took it off. So, Oprah, you know, I still love you, but dang, that's just cold. That's cold. A brother just trying to get some exposure. What's up with Lil Wayne getting 8 Grammys? You know Lil Wayne, you know the one with the song, Shorty in the Club. Shorty wanna be. Shorty in the Club. Lucky, lucky, but man, I'm so sick of that damn song. I ain't gonna even lie to you, man. I know that's a hot pop hit, whatever, man. I'm just sick of hearing it. Damn lollipop, but you can't play hate on him. He got 8 Grammys. He's leading the Grammy nominations. Just tell the brother just to pull up his pants. That's all I'm asking, walking around with his old ass always hanging out with his 4'11" ass. And I mentioned a young lady who's in my chat room. Now, normally, depending on the topic of my show, I get different emails. Like when I had Angry Black Women, I got a lot of emails that week. When I had Hill Harper, I had women writing me trying to give them his number, like I'm going to actually give them Hill Harper's number. So there's been about 3 or 4 weeks I get emails from a bunch of people, and particularly women, on different subjects. This week I've been getting a lot of emails, but the only interesting thing is it wasn't to do with my show. I've been a guest. If you're a big fan of Blog Talk Radio, you know there's been a couple times I was a guest on Alexis K. Tyler show. Now, if you're not familiar with Alexis K. Tyler, she is what I call the urban hip-hop Dr. Ruth. She's similar to my guest tonight, actually. My guest tonight is a sexologist. She's pretty much a sexologist. She gets raw. PG-13 is almost a foreign term to her. She just keeps it raw. And I've been getting all these emails from women saying, ooh, Alan, I like that raw side of you. See, you're always PG-13 on your show, but when you was on Alexis' show, you was like X-rated, and you was sexy, and you was raw. And I'm like, oh, shoot, what's that about? Yeah, so they've been both compliment me and criticize me. They say I'm too conservative on my own show. That's because I'm trying to maintain my Disney Channel watching PG-13 listeners. That's been my running joke throughout the year. But, you know, the sisters been writing me. They said, Alan, you got to loosen up like you are on the Lexus show because you just nasty. You was just sexy. You was real raw and nasty. So I want y'all to write me. I'm going to say this to my listeners, the female listeners. You write me tonight or the end of the week and say, tell me in email, which do you like better, PG-13 Alan or the nasty, raw, X-rated Alan? Or you can say, I'm indifferent towards both. Both work for me. Write me an email at blogtalkradio@mode1.net, MODEONE.net. And now we're going to get to my guest for the evening. Speaking of being nasty and raw and freaky and kinky and all that stuff, I can't wait to talk to my guest this evening. Boy, oh boy. My guest for the evening resides in the Los Angeles area and is one of the most well-known sexologists in the entire United States, if not in the world. She has been featured in so many media publications that it would literally take me an hour just to list them all. She has been featured on hundreds of radio shows and dozens of television talk shows. She's been featured on HBO's Real Sex and has also had her own specials on HBO. She is a best-selling author, a very sought-after public speaker. She even finds time, get this listener, she finds time to help out the LAPD with their sex crime division. And she speaks at universities such as USC and her alma mater. I mentioned in the opening intro that she's a magna cum laude graduate of Yale University. She's the founder and director of her own Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences. I like the way that just sounds. You know, it's an institute of freakiness. Yeah, Institute for Erotic Arts and Sciences. And she is the creator of an award-winning television documentary entitled The Encyclopedia of Sex. Her second book, Being a Woman, was a New York Times bestseller. And her third book, The Ten Commandments of Pleasure, Erotic Keys to a Healthy Sexual Lifestyle, has solidified her reputation as one of the most foremost authorities on the subject of sex and erotic intimacy. On behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and Blog Talk Radio, listeners, give it up for Dr. Susan Block. Dr. Block, how are you doing this evening?
I just love all that applause. It's such an aphrodisiac.
Oh, shoot. See, you already getting freaky with me, Dr. Block. And I love
freaky?
It, too. That's why you on the show, because you heard me talking. You know, people...
Now,
I just
want to clarify something.
Okay, clarify something, Dr. Block.
You said I work with the LAPD Sex Crimes Division.
Is that wrong?
And most people, when they hear LAPD, they think of the Los Angeles Police Department. And that's not what I work with. The LA Public Defender's Office. No, it's also PD.
Oh,
it's
God.
LA Public Defenders.
Okay.
It happens to be PD also. But you see, it's defending the people that the police pick up.
Oh.
The freaky people. Some of them are innocent, just so happen to be innocent. Actually, most of them. But anyway, so I do help with the public defender's office defending the people that are too poor to, afford a fancy attorney. And they need expert witnesses, too, to explain freaky things to the jury.
So you kind of like a, what do I want to say, like a, the sexual equivalent to a CSI representative. You like give them your consultant knowledge on, like, something that's just out of bounds, freaky, that type thing?
Well, yeah, I guess it's out of bounds to the judge and the jury, but, you know, for me, it's just bread and butter, baby, you know? I mean, I'm a sex therapist, I'm a sexologist, I talk to people about their most private lives all the time.
Yeah, you got that voice, too.
I notice your voice has dropped down a couple of octaves.
Yeah, so you have an effect on
you're
me.
You're meeting me there, down
yeah,
there.
An effect on me.
Down in the depths of the waters of love.
Now, let me ask you right off the bat. What provoked you early on to want to pursue a career as a sexologist?
Well, I don't know if I thought of it as a career when I thought about pursuing sexuality as an interest. You know, it was just something that sparked my intrigue between my ears and between my legs. Ooh. And between my boobs as well, right in my heart. I mean, it was something that touched me body, mind, and soul. And I can say I felt that since I was a little girl. You know, and I didn't think of it as a career. I just thought of it as a great mystery that I wanted to explore and understand, something that was full of pleasure and racked with pain, something that everyone wanted and yet everyone was afraid of. It just had that special sense of mystery for me and intrigue that I had to pursue. And I guess, you know, I spent so much time pursuing it, I had to turn it into a career. I'm that kind of girl.
That kind of girl. Mm-hmm.
Since I couldn't be a hooker because I'm not that kind of girl, I became a sexologist.
Gotcha. And you probably have more fun than the average hooker does anyway.
I think so. I mean, I have great respect for hookers, but I think there's a lot of wear and tear in that profession. It's like they're in the infantry of the war against sexual repression. I'm in the war, too, but I'm more like the general standing behind the lines going, do this, do that. They're out there actually doing it, you know, and it's tough. It's tough.
Now, what is, I'm sure when I ask you this question, you probably name 20 things, but if you had to try your best, what has been the most fascinating
aspect of your career to this point? What's of all the different aspects of your job, what's been that like peak that makes you say, this is why I wanted to do this?
Well, I think when I get a new client or even a caller on my radio show or maybe a guest on my TV show, just someone new, hey, novelty is the greatest aphrodisiac, you know? When I get someone who stimulates me body, mind, and soul, you know, comes up with a fantasy or comes up with a way of looking at an old fantasy or an old fetish that really makes me just go, wow. You know, I get a lot of that. I mean, I'd say it happens every other day. You know, it's like an orgasm, a mental orgasm comes into my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, let me ask you, getting into our theme about what kind of separates normal sex from kinky sex and even kinky sex from perverted sex. In your opinion, is there anything objective that separates normal sex from kinky sex?
Short answer is no.
Okay.
But I will say this is a very, it's an interesting question because this is the most common question that I get, you know, privately and on my shows. Am I normal? It's more personalized than you're asking. But the question that people ask me is, am I normal? Here's what I'm into, or here's what I want, here's what I dream of. Am I normal? You know, people desperately want to be normal, I guess, mostly. Although there's that kinky side of people that is kind of excited about not being normal, about being different, about going against the grain of society. That's, to a certain extent, what hot sex is all about. There's a little bit of nature to that. You know, nature, sex is about change. It's about changing the status quo. It's about joining with someone else, usually, to become something bigger and crazier than you are on your own. In a societal level, I mean, sex is about revolution. That's why it's so forbidden. So, you know, people want to be normal. They want to be accepted. But there's a part of them that's only turned on by something that's a bit of an overthrow of the normal. So that's why it's, you know, to say what's normal and what's not normal is very difficult in a general way, though, you know, we can try.
Now, I was reading this article a while back that where it said, and I've heard this before, different conversations with people, that Europeans as a whole perceive us as prudish. Have you heard that? And if you have, do you agree with that?
Well, I spend a lot of time in Europe. I think Europe's a very sexy place. They're certainly experts in the art of seduction from long ago, and they're not so, you know, kind of riddled with guilt from the church. Their churches are museums. They love their churches in Europe, but they don't feel ruled by them to quite the extent that I think Americans do. You know, keep in mind that to a great extent, what we know of as America, this country, was founded by Puritans. And they were kicked out of Europe for being just puritanical, you know, mm-hmm. repressive, strict, crazy. And they came to America and founded the city on the hill, you know, Boston. And then the Pilgrims also were kind of Puritan. They were related to Puritans. You know, so there's a strong strain of that in America that the Europeans kind of look down on. On the other hand, they are amazed at, guess what?
Yeah.
Our talk radio.
Really?
They are amazed that we talk about sex so much. We might be more uptight about actually doing it, about, you know, having multiple partners and about, you know, this and that, people having mistresses, all that stuff we're more uptight about. But the Europeans don't talk about it like we do. We love to talk about everything. And we talk about sex a lot, all over talk radio, all over television. We might come down on it. You know, there's a lot of talking about it, you know, using sex as kind of bait. Sex sells. But then there's usually somebody that says, you know, but it's really bad for you. And that's America.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm one of those that likes to talk about fucking.
Wow, you say the F word on your show. Here, I'm trying to be Miss PG for you.
Well, see, I'm going to unleash you because I don't know if you heard my little intro, but see, I've been getting teased this week of all weeks of this year, this past week, because I was a guest on a young lady.
I did hear that part.
Yeah,
but you said you were PG on your show. And
on her show, I got raw. I was talking about just oral pleasure and all that.
Let's talk about oral pleasure.
You like that, huh?
Well, you know, radio is about a certain kind of oral pleasure. That's A-U-R-A-L, the sound of sex. And then there's mouth pleasure. But, you know, I was on Oprah, too. In the late 1980s. And you make me want to put it on YouTube just so she can tell me to take it down.
Oh, man, I ain't going to lie. I was disappointed. And, again, nothing personal against Oprah because I know she's a businesswoman. And I guess she feels like that's, too much free publicity for me. But
Empress Oprah.
Yeah, the thing was just gaining momentum. I was having more and more people saying, hey, man, I saw, your little Oprah thing on YouTube. Next thing I know, I get this note saying, Oprah's company has told us to remove your video. I'm like, ain't that something? But
well, try putting it on your Facebook.
I just don't want to piss Oprah off anymore.
Oh, well, then it's self-censorship. Okay. The courtiers bow. Okay.
Yeah, man.
Well, then.
So, now, let me ask you this. You're making me lose my train of thought, Dr. Block. I'm thinking oral pleasure and all that. But would you say that people kind of have... And you alluded to this with a comment already. Do you think people have a more powerful orgasm when they feel like they're crossing the lines or, normal boundaries of their own sexuality, doing something, that's real kinky for them?
Taboo, forbidden. I think a lot of people do. I mean, I wouldn't say there's any across-the-board way of having a more powerful orgasm. You know, for some it's very physical, tantra is one way, learning to do PC muscle exercises and deep breathing, and that's not very taboo, really. So, that's certainly a way to have stronger, longer, more powerful orgasms. Being in love is a way to have more powerful orgasms. I definitely believe in the power of love. But certainly, yes, another very, very significant factor in the pursuit of the big O is just kinkiness, wildness, and sometimes just taboo thoughts, maybe even doing taboo things, inspire these earth-shattering orgasms.
Now let me ask you, what is there any type of consensual sex that can be unhealthy?
Yeah, the asphyxiation fetish, very unhealthy. I mean, there's a lot of, that's an extreme. there's a lot of people that like that. It's amazing, but I don't recommend it, although I've seen people do it, and, it's very dangerous. You can kill somebody in a matter of seconds. And it can be very consensual. And, in fact, I have helped the L.A. Public Defender's Office to prevent a poor schmuck, an idiot, who accidentally killed his wife playing asphyxiation games. And the DA wanted to, get him executed, basically said that he was practicing torture as well as murder. And there was a history of this couple being involved in S&M, and so we talked about that history and said that this was not a murder. This was just a terrible accident. And so the guy got manslaughter. So anyway, it is very terrible. I mean, and it's dangerous, but he didn't deserve, first-degree murder. So there's a lot of dangerous things you can do in sex. I mean, it's like sports. You know, there's all kinds of things that people can do consensually that are bad for you. You know, drugs. You can do smothering fetishes. I mean, walking on somebody. I mean, these are all consensual things. A lot of bondage can be dangerous. Even regular sex can, you know, give you, like, bow-leggedness in the morning. And, of course, there's sexually transmitted diseases. You might have perfectly consensual sex and then give each other a disease. I mean, there's sex is dangerous, but so are sports and so is driving on the freeway, and we do all those things.
Okay, well, let me tell my listeners, if you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment to my guest for the evening, Dr. Susan Block, the number is 646-478-5710. Again, the number is 646-478-5710. I'm going to let Dr. Block take a swig of water while I do a little three-minute intermission break, but we will return right after this intermission break with some more questions for sexologist Dr. Susan Block. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Block Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/DangerousLee.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Celebrating 25 years of the countdown.
25 years of the countdown.
With Walt Baby Love.
Live in our countdown studios, ladies and gentlemen, a personal friend of mine, Mr. Stevie Wonder. Now live with me on the countdown hotline, it's Justin Timberlake. Live with me in our countdown studios, my friend, Tina Marie. Welcome, Tina. On the countdown hotline, live, Eric Benet. As promised, my friend, Kirk Franklin. As promised, it's Natalie Cole. As promised, y'all, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. As promised, John Legend. As promised, live on my countdown hotline, Alan Roger Curry. Welcome, Alan.
The old to the new to the old. The old to the new to the old.
Only for the grown and sexy.
The grown and sexy.
The countdown with Walt Baby Love.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with nationally known sexologist Dr. Susan Block on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. I'm joined this evening by nationally known sexologist by the name of Dr. Susan Block. She is the founder
and director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, and she is also the author of the book, The Ten Commandments of Pleasure. Now, and listeners, I got a couple of listeners. Let me see if somebody's just listening or they have a question. Area code 248, area code 248, are you listening or do you have a question or comment for my guest? 248? Going once, going twice. Wait, hold on. 248, you there?
I'm listening.
Oh, you listening? Okay.
Yes.
Area code 609, you are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest for the evening, Dr. Susan Block. Are you listening? Do you have a question or comment?
I have a question for Susan Block.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. My
Can you turn that down in the background? I hear myself.
Okay. Right. My question is, how do you think porn is beneficial to a relationship?
Well, I think it can be very stimulating. I mean, it's a window into other people, you know, and their sex lives. And I think there's something in human nature that wants to watch people having sex. You know, we're visual creatures, and there's not really much opportunity for that in our society. That's very forbidden. We don't do that much. I mean, unless you know, go to swing parties and bacchanals like I have at my speakeasy. But most people don't do that. So really, when are they going to be able to see sex? They're not. So porn provides that, and it gives a couple some stimulation, you know. I mean, of course, a couple ideally gets their sexual stimulation from each other. But the ideal is the enemy of the real, often in sex and the rest of life. So, you know, when you can't get the stimulation from each other, don't give up. Put on a porn or use a sex toy or read an erotic short story or, you know, some kind of extra sexual stimulation. Nothing wrong with it.
But what about when it becomes like a necessity, like
okay, the heartbreak of porn addiction. You know, it doesn't usually become a necessity for a couple. It usually becomes a necessity for an individual. I don't hear about too many couples where they're both kind of addicted to porn. But I do hear a lot about porn addiction for individuals. Anything good in life can be addictive. And, you know, porn certainly can be. It's also something like fast food, much easier than making up a real meal, and certainly for an individual, usually a guy. Sometimes girls, though. Girls can get addicted to porn, too, but it's usually guys. And guys can find that watching a porn and just jerking off is much easier and more straightforward than all of the, you know, romance and melodrama that you have to go through in a relationship and having sex with somebody else. So, yes, porn can be habit-forming. There's got to be a warning label that goes with it, and I guess there is.
Hey, caller, you need to check out this movie if you haven't already. God, now, forgetting the title. It has Hill Harper, who was a guest on my show. It's called Something in the Bones, Eating the Bones or something. Look it up on IMDb, something with bones in it. It's
okay.
A good movie, though, about that very thing, because it's about this guy who you know, played by Hill Harper, who meets this young lady that he's really attracted to, but he has an addiction to porn. And it's both entertaining, but it's actually very realistically done. It's not, you know, it doesn't look like a farce. I know what it's called, Love, Sex, and Eating the Bones. That's what it's called, Love, Sex, and Eating the Bones. And that's one of the best movies I've seen to do with, you know, porn addiction. But thank you for calling in this evening. And now I'm going to take one more call. And this is a good buddy, Irvin V. Pulliam III. Are you just listening, or do you have a question?
I do have a question.
Okay.
For Dr. Block. I was just wondering, my question, years ago, I traveled more abroad, in particular, spent some time overseas, and more particularly in France. And I was amazed, initially, over 20 years ago, what I saw in advertising as opposed to what I've only seen here in the U.S. lately. I'm sure you probably have some appreciation for that, but more my question is that why do you think there's so much difference in the way Americans perceive sexuality or their sexuality versus, say, France or other countries abroad?
Yeah, I think we talked about that a little bit in the beginning of the show, but, you know, about how Europeans are, I guess, a little more mature, so to speak, when it comes to sex. Americans are more like teenagers when it comes to sex. It's all very exciting and nasty. And Europeans are like, this is a pleasure to be enjoyed, like a wonderful five-course meal, and it's nothing to get all bent out of shape about. It's just something that we enjoy. Also, nudity. I mean, they have topless beaches everywhere. They have topless billboards, lots of nudity in the billboards, lots of nudity on regular network TV, especially in the commercials. Interestingly, they show a lot of nudity in the commercials. Why? Because they know that'll attract your attention. So Europeans are very laid back about that sort of thing. Americans are always passing laws against that and censoring nudity and frowning upon anybody having more than one partner. And yet Americans are much more obsessed with sex. We talk about it more. That's what the Europeans are always so sort of bemused by, like, oh, you Americans, you talk about it so much, but you don't do it, really. I mean, Americans also are such entrepreneurs. I mean, we are so driven that, of course, we use sex constantly to attract attention. This is where Playboy was founded. This America is the land of porn. It's where porn really came of age. There's porn all over the world, but the San Fernando Valley is really the porn capital. And so Americans do like to use sex to make money. I mean, we're kind of Calvinist, Puritan, even in our pornography industry.
Okay. Well, thank you, EVP, EVP3 from Seattle. Now, let me ask you, somebody brought it up in the chat room.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on, and we did a show on this early in the year, on swinging, couple swapping.
Yeah.
Do a lot of men and women just get off on watching their partners fuck other people?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's very exciting, you know. I think that a lot more people are acknowledging that they enjoy somehow opening their monogamous relationship in some way, whether in reality through going to a swing event and actually swapping partners, taking a new partner, or maybe just going as a couple and watching and being stimulated by watching other people have sex. Or maybe just, in a way, watching a porn is like swinging, except that the people aren't actually there. But, you know, you've got them on celluloid with you there in your bedroom. So swinging is really kind of exploding in a way, if you count porn as a form of fantasy swinging, which I kind of do when a couple's doing it. So I think it's huge, and there's different reasons for that. I think it's a natural thing. Plus, I think there are certain forces in society that are leading it to be more pronounced than ever.
And let me ask you something.
Talk about those forces? Or
oh, yeah, just a second. But I want to ask you this, because I read an interview of yours, and I might be wrong, so I'm going to let you clarify this.
Uh-huh.
Where you kind of at least lightheartedly implied that if a man likes watching a woman he's attracted to be fucked by another man.
Yeah.
That means he's not only voyeuristic, but he's borderline like a visual bisexual. Is that the line of what you said?
Yeah, no, yeah, I really. Should clarify that. I should okay. clarify that. Because I think that the interviewer is wanted to go in that direction, and I think that some men that are into that are bisexual.
Okay.
I mean, I think that there's a lot of men that like to watch their woman with another man. I think almost every man does in a way. I mean, when I say like, maybe I should not use the word like. I should say some part of him is turned on by it. He may not like it at all. In fact, most men don't like it. They're jealous. They're angry. They feel possessive. You know, they don't like it. But I think there's a part of them that is aroused by it, and that might even make them angrier because of the arousal. Now, I think there's a certain percentage of the male population that is growing and that acknowledges that they're turned on by watching their woman with another man or just thinking about it. And they, you know, they're growing and they're kind of coming out of the closet, so to speak, and saying, yeah, I like this. And they're kind of proud of it. And some of them call themselves cuckold, and they're proud of it. Cuckold is a very big word.
What does that
nowadays.
Mean? What's cuckold?
A cuckold is a man whose wife has sex with other men, whether he likes it or not. It's an old English term, the cuckold, is the man whose wife has sex with other men. And in a way, this term, when it was used by Chaucer in Old England, it was a term of humiliation. A lot of men who are turned on by this do enjoy the humiliation. But I think there's a lot of men who don't enjoy. It's not about humiliation. It's about sharing their woman, that they like watching how turned on another man gets. That's part of it, that they want to share. They think their woman is the hottest thing since, you know, chili peppers, and they want to share this hotness with another man. They also get turned on by seeing another man with their woman. I think of this as related to an evolutionary biological syndrome, which is called sperm wars or sperm competition.
Sperm competition.
About, yes, sperm competition. See, I think men are inherently competitive.
I agree.
We're all kind of competitive, but men especially.
Yes,
you know?
I agree with that.
And it's because of your sperm. You know, they used to think that sperm was kind of like runners all running to the egg. Mm-hmm. But they have since found out in the 1990s, when they looked at it under a microscope, that sperm is more like a football team or an army, and that there are some sperm that run to the egg, but there are some that play kind of offense, killer sperm, and then there's some that play defense, the sperm that protect the runner sperm from these other sperm. Not the man's sperm, because all those sperm are kind of brothers and they stick together. But who are they?
Damn,
you're
getting deep on me now, Dr. Block. I didn't
huh?
know. I never knew sperm could be that deep.
Sperm is as deep as you get, honey. You know, your sperm, that's your, you know, that's your basic stuff that you send into the next generation, that you know, that's your pleasure. That's you.
I just
anyway,
don't want no Plexico bird sperm shooting my damn self and shit.
Yeah, well, I always say shoot the gun between your legs. Peace, brother. So, anyways, the sperm is inherently competitive because the sperm is there, the offense and defense sperm, to defend against another man's sperm so that your sperm can get to the egg and
wow.
get the goal. You know, that's the goal. It's really just like a football field, and the egg is the goal. And the idea is that there's another man's sperm in this woman's tract. And if you think about animals that are related to us, like chimpanzees, bonobos, they have a lot of sex with, you know, they go into a kind of heat, and the females have a lot of sex at one time with different males. Those males are competing. I think that this went on in human evolution long, long ago, in the beginning of our evolution when we were first evolving our genitalia, and that men are kind of conditioned to compete with other men for women. And I think that if a man is married and with a woman, and he's monogamous. And if and I think monogamy is a beautiful thing. It's a social construct, and it's beautiful. But when he feels that his woman is his and his alone, and that she will never be with another man, no matter how beautiful and sexy he thinks she is, his testicles are not going to make as much sperm, because nature is conservative, and nature will go, oh, we have no competition. We don't have to worry. We can lay back. Just make, you know, the runners and maybe just a few killers and the defenders, and, you know, we'll get the egg. We don't have any competition. Doesn't matter. So his ejaculate is not as strong. His erection is not as strong. If he thinks his woman could be with another man, whether she is or not, is irrelevant because the testicles don't really know. But if they, if the brain thinks, oh, she could be with another guy, you know, then he's going to send, the brain is going to send a message to the testicles, make that whole football team of sperm. We've got competition. We have to make that whole big load. We have to get a really strong erection and shoot that load through the goal, and we have to defeat the other guy and get the egg and win. And that's why men are aroused by other men. And I don't see this as being bisexual, although some men turn it into that, and it can become that. But I think that men that are purely heterosexual, the few of you that there are turned on by the idea that a woman is desired by other men. Society tells them this is bad, you've got to trust your woman, you've got, your woman's got to be true to you, and, you know, there's something to that. I mean, you don't want a woman you can't trust, you know, there's
true.
Something to that.
True.
It's important to be able to trust your woman, but there's something very basic, there's something very bottom line and natural about getting excited over a woman that is desired by other men, over your woman having another man look at her or do her. I mean, I can't tell you how many men tell me, you know, I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm jealous. I don't like it. When my woman dresses up in a miniskirt and the other men look at her, I get turned on.
Interesting.
You know, so this is at the bottom of the male interest in swinging, other than men just wanting a harem. You know, there's that desire too. And we can talk about that if you want.
That's a lot of men.
That's a lot of men. That's pretty much all men. But, you know, I mean, heterosexual men. But that's kind of common knowledge. The sperm wars thing is an undercurrent that's always going on. And I think it's also at the source of men trying to repress women, because they're trying to repress their own sexuality. They're trying to repress women because they're afraid of their own excitement over competition, because there's another part of them, which is the part that wants to make a mark in the world and wants to know who their children are and wants to, you know, build a family, that is horrified by this, you know. So it's a tug of war.
Hey, Dr. Black, let me ask you, I've been hearing this term for years, and somebody just mentioned it in the chat room. What exactly, for those who may not be familiar with tantra or tantric sex, what exactly is that?
Well, tantra is a kind of a system of sexual technique. It's physical, it's spiritual, and it's intellectual. The origin of the word is in the Far East, in India. And there's, you know, a lot of different schools of Tantra that have come out of India, and then there's other schools that have developed in other countries, in China, in America, you know. And it's pretty complicated. It's hard to explain, except I feel the basis of Tantra is breathing into your sexuality.
Breathing into deep, your sexuality.
Deep breathing, yes. I think that's a
So that's almost like, sounds like yoga combined with fucking.
It's very yoga-like. I find it's a very good technique. I mean, there's a religious side to Tantra. There's a spiritual side. But I don't think you have to believe in that necessarily in order to benefit from the basic deep breathing techniques that Tantra teaches you that can totally slow down men that are premature ejaculators and help them to control their ability to have sex for a long time, to come when they want instead of before they know it. I also believe that it can help women who have never experienced orgasm to have their first orgasm, to learn how to breathe deep and squeeze and release those PC muscles. That has its basis in Tantra and focus. Also, women can learn how to have multiple orgasms, and men can learn how to have orgasm without ejaculation if they're interested in that.
Yes. Orgasm without ejaculation.
Yes. Men
That's like me eating a chicken wing without putting the meat in my mouth. What's that about?
Well, you know, I understand that, you know. But sometimes, you know, people get into esoterica, and some people get into, you know, eating chicken marrow, I guess, you know. I mean, it's
I don't even want to ask what the fuck that is.
I don't know what it's a strange analogy, but you brought up the chicken wing. But anyway, the point is that a man can experience an orgasmic feeling within his body. Orgasm is a feeling. Ejaculation is that sperm, you know, that football team.
Football team coming
out.
Yeah,
the football team, you know. You know now, every time you're going to have a big ejaculation, you're going to be going, go, my football team.
That's what I'm talking about.
But you can have it. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. It's kind of weird for a guy who doesn't want to have it happen. But sometimes you can have this rush, like you had an orgasm, but you didn't ejaculate yet. You know, like, you can have that. And some men cultivate that.
Well, you know, when
on the
I
other side of
that,
it. Yeah, go ahead.
And this is right up your alley. I see on your site you do a lot of phone sex therapy.
I do.
So I know you into the whole phone sex vibe.
Yeah,
And I openly confess, that's if I have one quirk or fetish or whatever you want to call it, I love erotically explicit conversations.
Well, us, you know, sexy voiced people, we love our own voices and we love other sexy voices, you know?
I believe that.
That's what it's about. I mean, some people are just very auditory. I think phone sex is great for everybody at some point in their life. You know, people are so often separated by huge distances, and, you know, I think they can maintain intimacy and even create a whole new kind of intimacy through phone sex.
And what I was going to say is, you mentioned about, you know, having an orgasm without ejaculating. I guess more of a mental orgasm. And one thing that happens for me...
No, it can be physical. It's physical. You feel, feel that pleasure rush through your body. You just haven't... spit out, you know, the jism, you know.
Where I get off mentally is when I'm talking to a woman, and we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks on the show, about women who play the innocent role in public, but they really, like, kinky and freaky. And I love when I'm talking to a woman and she's playing that prudish role with me, you know what I'm saying?
She's
Little Miss Innocent.
All, so
and she's like,
that.
No, Alan, I'm not going to talk that way to you. I'm a good girl. And then you just get her to just start massaging that clit and playing with herself. That's a rush for me.
Uh-huh.
That feeling. I ain't shot none of my football team or hockey team out yet, but I just love that feeling of getting a woman to unleash her freak side.
Well, that's a little bit about, you know, the whole virgin fetish. You know, a lot of guys really like the idea of a woman who's a virgin and de-virginizing her. I think that goes back a long time. That's a pretty old, time-honored male fetish. Some women have it too. I mean, there's a lot of women that like to de-virginize guys. And de-virginize could be literal, like you're literally having sex with her for the first time. Or it could be you're just opening her up to a kinky thing. Or it could be that you're just getting her to talk about something that she doesn't usually talk about.
For me, it's the latter. I don't know so much if it's the whole virginal thing. But
well, yeah, that's a little scary. Yeah,
I just like to, you know, knowing that.
But you're a very mental guy, yeah. So I can imagine, you know, I didn't mean mental in a bad way. You're kind of, you know, you're a verbal guy. You like to talk. So I can imagine.
That ain't ever an understatement.
You love to interview. You love to draw people out. I mean, this is part of your career in a way, drawing people out. You know, so I can imagine that you like to draw women out of their little shells. You know. And
yes,
closets.
I do. I like to get women
like
to acknowledge
too.
Their inner freak, because I think all women have an inner freak.
I think that's kind of my job too.
I believe that. Just from what I've read about you, looked on your website, I said to myself, I know Dr. Block has gotten a lot of women and men to unleash their freaky side.
I do it all the time. I mean, I do it on the phone, you know, I do it on the show. I do it at my television show, too. And I try to be so kind of consensual. I am very consensual. I'm like, careful about that to a fault. But I still have been accused of spiking the drinks at the speakeasy, which I don't do. I mean, sometimes people will do things, you know, and I'll even check with them. I'll say, you sure you want to do this? Like, they get up on my bondage cross, you know, or they take off all their clothes and run around naked at the speakeasy, you know. I mean, people do a lot of freaky things for the first time. Female ejaculation is another big thing that's at the speakeasy sometimes.
Ooh, the squirting woman.
Yeah, the squirting thing. Just like men can have an orgasm without squirting, women can have an orgasm with squirting.
Ooh.
It's like the eighth wonder of the world.
Ain't nothing sexier than a squirting woman.
Thank you for that. Now, not every man thinks it's sexy, but I think men that really like women and men that really want to, you know, bask and be baptized by a woman's juices, they like it.
Ooh, I like the way you said juice. Say that again for me, juices.
Yeah, be baptized by a woman's juices.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I like that.
Juicy,
like
baby.
That. Now, I have a thing on my show where I get my guests. I don't know if you've heard any of my shows, but I have a chant where they say, Mode 1. That's the name of my book, Mode 1, and kind of stretch out the O's. So I usually I call it the indoctrination of my guests when I have them say, Mode 1. So I'm going to get you to do your best rendition of the Mode 1 chant.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Now, how do you pronounce this? Mode? Is
it
M-O-D-E?
You stretch out the O's.
But you stretch out the O, but you end up with a D at the end, right?
Yes.
Mode 1. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Mode 1.
Damn. That's the best goddamn Mode 1 chant in the history of this show.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Thank you, Master Allen.
Allen Roger Curry.
Get up front and straightforward.
Allen Roger Curry.
Now that's going to be talked about for weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Well, we're going to take a quick intermission again. But when I come back, I see about two numbers, if not more, in my queue. I'm going to get these callers. So area code 201 and area code 760. Hold on a second. But I'm going to run the intermission again. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man Allen Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Block Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/Dangerously.
What's up, folks? This is Allen Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Celebrating 25 years of the countdown.
25 years of the countdown.
With Walt Baby Love.
Live in our countdown studios, ladies and gentlemen, a personal friend of mine, Mr. Stevie Wonder. Now live with me on the countdown hotline, it's Justin Timberlake. Live with me in our countdown studios, my friend Tina Marie. Welcome, Tina. On the countdown hotline, live, Eric Benet. As promised, my friend Kirk Franklin. As promised, it's Natalie Cole. As promised, y'all, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. As promised, John Legend. As promised, live on my countdown hotline, Alan Roger Curry. Welcome, Alan.
The old to the new to the old. The old to the new to the old.
Only for the grown and sexy.
The grown and sexy.
The countdown with Walt Baby Love.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with nationally known sexologist, Dr. Susan Block, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
I want to give some chat room love to Miss Know-It-All, classy diva, honey love, the loveologist, the man, the myth, the legend. Kenda Bell is in my chat room, hung low, help. Metal Hayes from Montreal, Canada. Red King, Godfather, and Melissa Hip Talk Bouncer. Glad to see you in my chat room. Have much love for all of my chat room listeners. How important would you say healthy eating and regular or semi-regular exercise, how important is that to a man or woman's sex life? I know that might be rhetorical.
Well, sure, it's very important. I mean, good health is very basic to good sex, you know, physically speaking, mm-hmm. and mentally, too, you know. I mean, it's good to be healthy. Good to be healthy. But I will tell you this, sometimes when I'm sick, I don't know, I really like to have sex to, you know, kind of decongest me or cure my headache. I mean, it depends. I mean, sometimes a little, you know, kind of, disability is kind of sexy in a perverted way. You know, I mean, everything that is you can say about sex, you can almost say its opposite as well. I mean, health is very basic, yes, to sex, but, you know, I mean, some people can go overboard with that, and there's always a balance to be struck. And certainly when I was really sick, I remember when I started to get better. I just appreciated sex so much.
What's your question or comment?
Hey, Alan, this is Classy Diva. How are you?
Classy Diva, what's your question or comment for my guest for the evening?
Well, Dr. Susan, I definitely have to touch base with you on something you said earlier about a lot of women that are afraid to really let their inner diva out or their inner six pot out. So for women that are first trying to explore that for the first time, what are some things that they can do to kind of let it out one taste at a time?
Well, gosh, to let out your inner diva, your inner goddess, you know, one thing you can do is masturbate and find out who that inner diva, that inner goddess, that inner sex maniac, that inner slut really is. Because so often when we have sex with someone else, we're trying to please that other person. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's good to please. That's what sex is about, to a great extent, pleasing someone, getting them pleasure. But if you want to bring out that sex pot, I say, you know, set the scene, have a date with yourself. Bubble bath, soft music that you like, or loud music that you like, you know, aromatherapy, read your favorite erotica or watch some porn if you like that. Certainly your favorite sex toys. Maybe you want to create your own fantasy. Figure out what you like. Figure out what turns you on. Then, you know, once you got that, you can share it with the world, and the inner diva can become the outer empress.
Absolutely, and I'm glad that you said that, because I do know that a lot of women don't know that. And Alan, I just wanted to give you a shout out. I love your show, and just wanted to show some Blog Talk Love Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That was a sexy question, or anyway, I gave it a sexy answer too.
I would say pretty much all your answers have been pretty sexy. But
here.
Yeah, that was a sexy question. Thank you for that, classy diva. Now, we were talking about, you know, phone sex and whatnot.
Yeah, phone sex. By the way, can I do a little promo for myself here?
Oh, you could do all the promos
all
you
right,
want to.
All right, let
go
me promote. I am a sex therapist. I am in private practice. And you can call me and talk to me or one of my other therapists that work at the Dr. Susan Block Institute. And you can talk about whatever you like. We specialize in talking about those things you can't talk about with anyone else. Whether it's a fantasy or serious problems or just sharing pleasure, our number is, let's see, all over the world, you can call 213-749-1330. That's 213-749-1330. And in the U.S. of A., we pay for the call. That's 1-866-289-7068. So there you go.
And, men, I have to tell you, if you go to Walgreens and mention that you want to have phone sex therapy with Dr. Block, they will give you 20% off of Vaseline, Johnson's Baby Oil Gel. Okay, no,
massagers that they have in the back to, you know, kind of.
You said what?
Back. Those massagers, do they still sell those in Walgreens?
I would Walmart? Have no idea, actually.
Well, I sell them, actually, online.
Really?
Yeah, the massagers are the best vibrators, really. They are the massagers, like Hitachi Magic Wand is a massager. Yeah, they're the best. You use them on the outside, not really on the inside.
Now, let me ask you, if a woman gets so used to indulging in self-pleasure mode with a vibrator or a dildo,
uh-huh,
would that cause her to become indifferent towards the human penis?
You can become addicted to anything. A woman can become addicted to her vibrator, just like a guy can be addicted to porn. Or, you know, I mean, people can become addicted to anything that they like.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if her guy is not doing her right and she's doing her vibrator more and her vibrator's a better lover, then why wouldn't she prefer her vibrator to her guy?
Okay, Dr. Block, I'm going to give you full permission since I've already said fucking on this show. You can say if he's not fucking her right.
You want me to say it?
Say it.
Yeah. I don't usually say it on other people's shows.
Say it on my show.
You really want me to?
Say it.
Oh gosh, I never say it on somebody else's show.
Say it on my show.
Okay. Fucking. You made me say it, Master Alan.
Yes, you just gotta love the verbal interplay. Got another 678. Matter of fact, I was telling the chat room, that's like my signature phrase when it comes to erotic activities verbally is say it again. Say it again.
Say it again.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say it again. Please,
say
come on.
Say
let's
again.
At least do other words.
Yeah, I love
you
it.
Want me to say
have
the
a woman
word
repeat
again?
Something that I
really?
Like.
Want me to
say
if
she says
word
something
again?
Kinky or whatever, I just have to say it again. But I got another 678. 678, I hope this is a sane caller. 678, you're up front and straightforward. Alan Roger Curry, what's your question or comment?
This is a very sane caller. This is the Loveologist.
The Loveologist.
Oh, hello,
what's up, brother?
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Hey, I had a really quick question. Dr. Block, for the rookie phone sex individuals that are out there,
yes.
What would be the biggest tip that you can give to that person to, let's say, turning a woman on, turning a man on, something along those lines?
You mean you want to have phone sex with a woman
mm-hmm.
who you'd never had phone sex with?
Yes. Well, what would be the biggest tip that you can say to really truly get a woman and or a man to get into it?
Well, I think the best way to get her into it is to talk to her when she's in bed. You know, call her late at night when she's in bed.
Mm.
I don't think you want to plan it too much. I think you want to just kind of invite her into this world step by step by just saying, you know, where are you? Let her tell you she's in bed. What are you wearing? Hopefully nothing, or maybe just a nightie. You know, I'm in bed too. God, I'm thinking about you. I'm getting real turned on just thinking about you doing something, and then you say what you're getting turned on thinking about. And then you just say, you know, how you doing over there? You know, just kind of say, does that bother you that I'm thinking about you? Or, you know, mm-hmm. does that turn you on? Do you ever think about me? I'm thinking about you right now. What are you doing? I hope you don't mind that I'm touching myself.
Mm.
I mean, you have to just take it a step at a time, because if she doesn't say, I'm in bed, you can't just go, I hope you don't mind that I'm touching myself.
Gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
You got to kind of go step by step.
Now, this isn't for me per se. You know, I would consider myself very expert as far as phone sex is concerned.
Well, the kind of the general royal.
Exactly. Just for the rookies that are out there
who
definitely,
right.
You know, the lessons. Kind of like Ms. Block, Dr. Block, what are you wearing right now?
What am I wearing right now?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm wearing a velvet robe and a silk slip. And high-heeled mules.
Sounds tasty. Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Hey, I appreciate you taking my phone call.
Oh,
no problem.
You know, you're always welcome, Loveologist.
Is
the Loveologist.
Talk to all these different Blog Talk Radio hosts. You know, I have a show on Blog Talk Radio. I just started it, really. I mean, I have a show on my own site. But we've been putting it on some different other sites,
mm-hmm.
and Blog Talk Radio is one site, although we kind of got locked out. I don't know what happened. I have an assistant that puts me on there, so I haven't been on there in a couple weeks. But I do my show every Saturday night. I should have you on sometime, Alan.
Oh, have me on, because as I was talking about at the beginning of the show, see, I get teased because I tend, even though I've been a little raw tonight, but I usually get really raw when I'm a guest on somebody else's show.
Oh, well, you'll get really raw on mine, because I am pretty raw. And see, the thing is, I have these co-hosts that kind of hang out with me. I have this group. I have an entourage. And they actually get really raw, because they're crazy, you know. And we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun.
Now, you were saying that sex is about pleasure. Now, I want
to
touch
to
briefly
some degree,
on.
Then it's also about pain. But anyway, go on.
I want to touch briefly on that, because a lot of people I feel in this society get tripped up with the relationship between sex and religion, or sex and spirituality. For example, I used to be part of this very religious church when I lived in Los Angeles.
Oh.
And they actually told me that masturbation was a bigger sin than premarital sex. Because they said it was selfish pleasure. They said, at least with premarital sex, you're providing someone else with pleasure. What's your thoughts on both that, as well as, do you think in many ways religion and or spirituality causes people to either act more prudish than they really are, or have more prudish type attitudes towards sex?
Yeah, they do. I mean, I kind of, you know, I'm for freedom of speech, totally, and freedom of religion, and freedom to be crazy, and freedom to believe in what you want to believe in. But I do believe that religion has caused a lot of sexual torment, a lot of sexual abuse, a lot of sexual confusion in the world over the years. I kind of specialize in treating victims of religious sexual abuse, mm-hmm. and that abuse could be physical, because there's an awful lot of hypocrites that use the garb of religion. And then again, that abuse is more often just mental, just making you feel that your genitals are dirty, making you feel that, you know, God, you know, created this wonderful creature of that we are, and somehow made this part of us wrong. And, you know, I always believe in Reverend George Carlin, who said, if God had intended us not to masturbate, he would have made our arms shorter. So I believe
that's pretty good, actually.
Masturbation is, if there is a God, you know, and I'm kind of agnostic, but I believe if there is a God, God created masturbation to be done, not to not be done. Otherwise, it would be, you know, we'd have our genitals on our feet or something, you know? It's kind of hard to do your feet, but it's not hard to do yourself. So it must be something we're supposed to do. And look at monkeys do it, you know, dogs do it. I mean, every mammal does it. I maybe some reptiles do it too, but mammals do it. It's very natural. Yeah, it's kind of selfish, but hey, I think it's much more selfish to have certain kinds of premarital sex when, you know, you're doing it, I mean, or let's say extramarital sex, or I don't know, certain kinds of sex are selfish, you know, that you're doing for yourself. It's not all about giving pleasure. It's not across the board about giving pleasure. That's crazy to say that it's always about giving pleasure to someone else. And indirectly, masturbation can be about giving pleasure to someone else, because you're learning about yourself so that you can later give pleasure to someone else, because you know more about your own body. When a woman learns how to give herself an orgasm and then can share that with her man and doesn't, like, you know, pout because he can't, quote-unquote, give her an orgasm, then that's, I don't know, that's not very giving.
I think a woman is extremely sexy who loves her own pussy and loves to play with her own pussy. That is just extremely sexy.
A lot of men do find that sexy. And the fourth commandment of a woman's pleasure in my Ten Commandments of Pleasure is, thou shalt encourage her to show and tell you how she likes to be touched. So that you do through masturbation.
Now, do you think it takes a particular type of man to bring out a woman's inner freak, or do you think any nerd or geek could get some, say, some tip from you and know how to bring out a woman's inner freak?
Yeah, you know, me and Mystery and all these guys out there who are helping all these poor losers out there, you know. Yeah, you can turn women on too, losers. It's okay. You can. There are ways. If anything, you can just throw money at them. That'll turn them on, you know. And sometimes you can do it with your creativity. You can do it with caring, you know, even if you don't have the biggest thing in the world, even if you aren't, you know, a sexual stud. There are other ways to turn women on. There are all kinds of ways. We're talking about phone sex. You can turn women on tremendously with your voice without being a stud at all. So there's many, many ways to turn women on. And no, I don't recommend any form of penis enlargement surgery.
Oh, man, I wouldn't trust no surgeon with no knives or other utensils on my dick.
No way.
That would just, like, kind of, I'm sorry, I don't want nobody.
Maybe in the 22nd century, but right now, no, don't do that, guys. It's really dangerous. You just got to work with what you got. And, you know, there's different ways to work with it, depending on you and the woman.
Now, I got to ask you a question. I found interesting. I've read this in a magazine. I'm sorry I can't quote the specific magazine, but I've even talked to a few of my female friends, and they've acknowledged this.
What is it about women who say that they feel more comfortable having, say, a kinky threesome with two men that they've known only for 2, 3, 4 weeks than two guys that they've known for 2 or 3 years? Why would a woman feel more comfortable unleashing and or revealing her kinky freaky side to guys that they don't know that well?
Because they don't care what those guys think of them.
So it's a matter of they don't want to have judgment passed on by the guys.
Exactly. The guy that they're with is, you know, going to judge them. And there's no way around that. He is going to judge them. It's the same reason that guys often like to do kinky, freaky things with women they don't know that well. It's the same reason that, you know, I mean, people in general seek out strangers other than novelty. Novelty is, of course, always a reason. Mm-hmm. Novelty is a great aphrodisiac. Sometimes you can pretend that the one that you're with is a new person, but you can play games, wear masks, you know, pretend you're meeting each other in a bar, do fantasies, but you can never take away the fact that deep inside that person is judging you.
Gotcha.
You can't take it away. It's just part of reality. So hopefully you're not too judgmental and you let your lover know that. The most important thing about being a good lover, one of the most important things, is to try not to be too judgmental unless it's really hurting you or someone else. Try to be a little open. Try to not cast judgment on your partners, at least on their fantasies. I mean, if you really don't like them, then you can break up, I guess. I mean, that it's really tough when your partner has some serious, you know, kind of chronic fantasies that really bother you. It's a tough thing to deal with.
Now, speaking of that, should some sexual fantasies just remain just that, an entertaining fantasy in your own mind?
Of course. One of the most common sexual fantasies is a rape fantasy. Very common.
I've read that. I've actually read that.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Women and men fantasize about raping and being raped all over the place. And, of course, no one should ever rape anybody. And I don't think anybody really wants to be raped by someone that they don't, you know, haven't conjured up to be raped by, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's just one example. But there are tons and tons of examples of sexual fantasies that you shouldn't act on, you know. And sometimes there's, in certain cases, you shouldn't act on them because your partner would be hurt. Maybe some people can act on them, but other people can't because it would hurt their partner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to take another break. Listeners,
And I got to go. I got to have some sex in my life. I can't stay on the radio the whole time.
Oh, okay. You got to take
sorry.
Off on me? Okay.
All right. I do, darling.
Well, I've enjoyed you coming by this evening. I'm going to give you the freedom right now to plug any upcoming event, book, show, et cetera.
Okay.
Anything you want to plug?
Well,
right now?
I do, first of all, my show, I guess, because I do my show on Saturday night, 11 p.m. Pacific time. It's on my own site, drsusanblock.com. That's drsusanblock.com. No periods, no spaces. Just drsusanblock.com. And you can click around on the site. You can go listen to my show. That's free. Then, you know, there's certain things you can pay for, buy, you know, I'm a small businesswoman, you know, and you can also, of course, call me for telephone sex therapy, of all different sorts. And my phone number is 213-749-1330. And I do have an event coming up, that maybe some of your more adventurous listeners might be interested in. It's called Eros Day. And maybe we can do another show sometime where I tell you all about Eros Day, which is a special holiday that I celebrate every year.
Eros Day.
Yeah, Eros, Eros, like the mm-hmm. god Eros, god
yes,
of love
yes.
and sex, but with the wings, you know, like Cupid and the Roman. There's also a planetoid called Eros. Planetoid is larger than an asteroid, but smaller than a planet. And this planetoid happens to be shaped like a banana. Well, It's also shaped like a beautiful curved, what shall I call it, Master Alan penis?
No, that's too formal. We've been raw today. Go ahead and say what feels natural for you.
I don't know. I don't think I should. Do you?
No, say it.
I don't think I should.
Say it.
Really, Master?
Say it.
Alan? Really?
Say it.
Cock. It looks like a cock. Anyway, you made me do it. It looks like a curved cock, and it comes closest to Earth around January 24th, which is when we celebrate Eros Day. And this will be our 10th annual Eros Day. It will also be the Obama inaugural, the erotic Obama inaugural celebration in L.A. So we'll be celebrating Obama. I mean, you don't have to have voted for Obama, but it's kind of a little bit of a celebration of that. But it's mainly a celebration. We did an anti-inaugural for Bush. I tend to be kind of political. But it is also a beyond political celebration of Eros on the sexual, the spiritual, and the astrological plane. Or actually not astrological, astronomical. Eros is really out there in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's been my pleasure to have you on my show, and we're going to have to talk offline in the near future for because I want to accept your invitation to be on your show and
okay.
kick it with you on your show.
Yeah, we'll come up with a date.
Okay. And again, you gave me a Hall of Fame worthy Mode 1 chant. I really enjoyed that.
I did it for you, Master Alan.
Ooh, say it again.
I did it for you, Master Alan.
Gotta love that. Gotta love that. Okay, listeners, this was Dr. Susan Block. You know, just give it up for her again, because
I love to give you pleasure.
See, I had to give it up for you again, because again, you really brought some spice to the show, and yes, we're definitely gonna have to hook up again, and I'll be a guest on your show, and you can find her on the internet. Just put in her name, Dr. Susan Block, and you'll get all kinds of hits. And, man, if you want to take advantage of her phone sex therapy, I'm sure it's just off the chain. And, yes, indeed. Well, since we got a little more time, and even though my guest has to run, I'm just going to invite some callers. If you want to talk about your thoughts on what your definition of normal sex is, or kinky sex, normal versus kinky, normal versus kinky. We're going to finish that thing for the next, say, 15 minutes right after I come back from another intermission break. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Block Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/DangerousLee.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Celebrating 25 years of the countdown.
25 years of the countdown.
With Walt Baby Love.
Live in our countdown studios, ladies and gentlemen, a personal friend of mine, Mr. Stevie Wonder.
Now live with me on the countdown hotline, it's Justin Timberlake. Live with me in our countdown studios, my friend Tina Marie. Welcome, Tina. On the countdown hotline, live, Eric Benet, as promised, my friend Kirk Franklin. As promised, it's Natalie Cole. As promised, y'all, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. As promised, John Legend. As promised, live on my countdown hotline, Alan Roger Curry. Welcome, Alan.
The old to the new to the old. The old to the new to the old.
Only for the grown and sexy.
The grown and sexy.
The countdown with Walt Baby Love.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Now return to my interview with nationally known sexologist Dr. Susan Block on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Well, it just goes to show you when you talk about sex. Why am I trying to be PG-13 now? I've been saying the F word all night. When you talk about fucking, it attracts listeners. I was just looking at my preliminary numbers, and this show has already ranked as my fifth most listened to show by live listeners. By live listeners, this is my fifth most show listened to show this year. So give it up for Dr. Susan Block and Alexis leaving me? Oh, that's cold. That's cold. But, yeah, actually, my guest had to take – if you're just now joining me, my guest had to take off, and I only have about 10, 15 minutes left. I was going to invite people to call in and give me their own definitions of normal versus kinky sex, just talk about the whole idea of sexual hang-ups, sexual desires, and that type of thing. But until somebody calls in and to talk about that, I want to also plug my next two shows, my last two shows of 2008 calendar year. Hey, Alexis, if you don't have anywhere to run to real quick, why don't you call into the show and give me your thoughts on tonight's discussion. Alexis, call into the show so I can hear your five-minute thoughts on tonight. Alexis K. Tyler, folks, I'm going to be a guest on her show this Saturday, and the subject is going to be called Tricky Dick. Tricky Dick. No, we ain't talking about Richard Nixon. We're talking about Tricky Dick, men who play, engage in manipulative sexual games with women. So we're going to be talking about those deceitful, scandalous, Tricky Dick man. I'm going to be a guest on Alexis K. Tyler's show. If you missed the beginning of this show, one of the things I brought up to do with Alexis is that I've got more emails this week about my guest appearance on her show, and it was kind of a combination of a compliment and a criticism. A lot of women who've listened to both shows, who've listened to my show and then heard me on her show, they said I'm too conservative and too PG-13 on my own show, but they said I was sexier and more raw and X-rated on Alexis' show. So it looks like I have Alexis on the line right now. What's up, Alexis?
You, baby. Hey, baby. You know you got it. You do that to me.
So this woman is a character, folks. Now I'm sure you listened to most, if not all, of the conversation. Was there anything you totally agreed with, totally disagreed with? Anything catch your ear that Dr. Block said to do with sex? Is that your field as well?
Well, I'm familiar with Dr. Susan Block. She's been around for a while, so I remember seeing her a long time ago. and seeing how open she was and encouraging everybody else to be open and honest with their sexuality. So it's a lot of it that I do agree with.
Now, I've been doing this little lighthearted thing about my appearance on your show. Don't you think I got at least a little bit raw on my show tonight, or you thought I was still too PG-13 on my own show?
No, I think you're wonderful with your show. And yeah, I think you're fine. I don't think you're too PG-13. I think you know how to handle yourself on your show, but you know when you come to me, you're going to take your drawers off, your house coat, your socks, your shoes. You're going to let your nuts hang.
Yeah, we were getting wild on Alexa's show. We had a two-part show. We had a show talking about why men love sneaky pussy, have sex with other men's wives, other men's fiancés, other men's girlfriends, or if they're married or in a relationship, why they just like, you know, sneaking around and sliding their manhood. Now, you know, she enlightened me about something. You might have always known this. I never knew about this whole, I got like a football and basketball and hockey team of sperm in my dick. What's that about? She said you got sperm that go on offense, then others that go on defense. Did you know about all that?
Yeah. I actually write about it in Vagina Power. It's a very intricate process, the way sperm travel to eggs and the way even women generate the dicks they pick and the type of sperm that they want to attract into their uterus to fertilize the egg. So some are supposed to be there, and some are never going to make it into the birth canal. They're never going to go through the cervix into the uterus.
Wow.
So, yeah, they have different positions that they play, and all of them can't reach through there to fertilize the egg. Some of them may just be able to protect the sperm. That might be their job, the sperm that's going to travel into the cervix to fertilize the egg and then die before they get there.
Damn, that's deep. Now, it's interesting. You know, my thing is to tell women, say it again. So women in the chat room telling me to say dick again. They want me to say the word dick. So, Alexis, let me ask you, do a lot of women just get aroused when they hear a man say dick or my dick or, you know, that type of
thing? It depends on how they say dick or my dick. So you got, I like the way you say it. I just want you to go a little bit deeper in your bass. Just drop a little bit deeper and slow it down. So I want you to just emphasize the D and the K.
Like dick.
Yeah, like that. So, you know, you got to be, when you say it, you know, you got to be looking at me, you know, with your dick in your hand. You got to be squeezing that motherfucker. You got to be looking at me like you really want to give it to me, like you know you got some heat in it. You know you got a lot of power in it. You know it can stay hard for the long haul, and you know how to handle this pussy. See, that's it. I want you to say it when you're gripping it and looking like that.
Mm. Now, see, listeners, if you only listen to my show, but you never heard me on her show. The interaction we got going on right now, that's the type of interaction we had going on her show. Because as you can see, Alexis keeps it real and she keeps it raw. And I was right there toe-to-toe with her. And, yeah, just, see, I like the way she just says pussy. It has a different emphaticness when she says pussy. And
see, you are trying to act nice tonight on your show. You be talking back with me, talking about, oh, yeah, you want me to grab. See, when he be on the phone, he's so nasty. I don't know why he's trying to act nice for y'all.
You trying to outer brother shit? That's just wrong. Yeah, I am. I'm a nasty, freaky, yeah. They don't call me erotic brother for nothing. But yeah, I was. I was getting raw on Alexa's show when it, more so on the part two. We had part one of why men love sneaky pussy and part two of why men love sneaky pussy. And in part two, I got into the zone. I was talking. Oh, I know what I was talking about. I said I told Alexis and her listeners that women shouldn't. Hey, Alexis, you need to turn your radio down. Somebody said they can hear your radio in the background.
Okay.
We're talking how I said women, especially with young guys, shouldn't assume that a guy knows how the ins and outs of pleasing a woman. Sometimes a guy needs, you know, a woman to kind of teach him a few things. Because I was telling our listeners how when I was in my, what, early to mid-20s, I had an older woman kind of taught me some things, taught me the art of foreplay and the art of just slowing down, because the young brother just wanted to jackhammer the whole night, get to the entree and just jackhammer. She taught me how to, you know, everything was slow, 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 slow and rhythmic, slow and rhythmic. Anyway, when I got into that zone on her show, man, it upset Blog Talk Radio so much, they went in there and changed the show from mature to adult. They just,
you know,
changed
they
started it on. They said, oh, shoot, Alan Roger Curry getting freaky up on the Lexus show. We got to change this to X-rated adult rating. But it was all good.
Remember,
yeah,
they
really
started shutting it down in the middle of the show. Remember, they started cutting us off.
Yeah, they people couldn't hear it in the chat room. It was something else. It was something else. So if you want some more of that, I'm going to be on her show. Check the listings. It's going to be Saturday, I believe, at 3 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be talking about the tricky dicks, men who just be lying or be misleading women and giving them some good old dick, make them want to slap somebody and just be playing all kinds of games. Now, since I got you on my line, on my show, you know what I got to have you do. I want you, Alexis, to say, Mo One.
Mo One.
Mm-hmm. Alan Roger Curry.
Get up front and straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
That's right, listeners. It's all about Mo One. So coming up again this Saturday, I'm going to be a guest on Alexis K. Tyler's show. We're going to be talking about Tricky Dick. Then my show here next week, I'm going to be talking to a woman that's almost the opposite of Dr. Block. She's a, you know, kind of conservative spiritual woman, but she's pretty real, too. She's real. I'm not going to make her out to be a prude, but, you know, her name is Talia Stovall, and she wrote a book called Crossing the Thresholds. And essentially her book is going to be about if you want to attract men and women with certain qualities, certain attributes, she believes you have to, you know, highlight those attributes in yourself. 2 weeks from tonight, I'm going to be talking about sexual duplicity, sexual hypocrites. Purpose One in the chat room and my other male listeners, they know that's a big thing with me. I love to talk about, get on people's case, not just women, but men and women who are just sexually duplicitous, what I call the fake prudes. People be acting like they all innocent, they not into oral sex and know they love to suck a dick. And so that's what we're going to be talking about 2 weeks from now. And since I got you on the line, Alexis, other than the Tricky Dick Show, give us a couple of shows you might want to plug coming up for you.
Well, you know you're going to be on the show. I guess we're going to do it another week, How to Take Dick, Part 1. Talking to the women specifically on how they need to learn how to take a dick.
Don't say that so matter-of-factly, how to take a dick.
Yeah, it's certain. We're taking them, but it's a certain way we need to learn how to take them. So I ask you to be there with me because I want your input on it. Tell us things we need to know about how y'all like us to take a dick.
Say, Alan, I want you to be nasty on my show.
Alan, I want you to be nasty, and I want you to go into explicit detail on showing me how to take a dick.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, listeners, I want to thank all of you all for joining me tonight. Dangerous Lee, I give you much love for hanging around for my whole show. I know a lot of times you're busy and you just pop in for 15, 20 minutes here, but you stayed here the whole show, and I really appreciate that. Gina, Hyper, Purpose One, my dog, again, I ain't going to never mess up your geographical residence again, man. You in Houston, all honeys. If you want to contact Purpose One, he keeps it real. He's in Houston. Honey, love the Loveologist, the man, the myth, the legend with the Merlot, one of the smoothest voices on Blog Talk Radio. Kendra Bell, much love to you, baby, in the chat room. The Dave Jones of the Dave Jones Show. True View Radio, Roland's in the house. I didn't see you in here. Glad to have you. Steamy Trails, Miss Know-It-All, and, of course, the lovely young lady I'm on the line with,
Miss Alexis K. Tyler. She's a legend in the Atlanta area, and her legend is growing by the week across the country. You know, I talk to women, they be like, she likes my girl. Like, they want to fight you for say something bad about Lex. Don't be talking about Lex. That's my girl.
That's right.
She be breaking some shit down. That's my girl. Yeah, they love them some Alexis. So join me next week. And, again, join me on Saturday as I guest on Alexis' show. And until then, Alexis and I are going to send you out on Rick James, some old school Rick James. Take it easy. Have a great weekend.
Mode one.
All right, you squares. Time to smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toast. It'll make you dance some of everything. Everybody get high. Come on.